Good morning. Welcome to our services this morning. Pastor Tim is off this weekend. He attended the annual pastor's retreat this week in Waco. So we want to thank Terry for bringing our message today. After the service today, we have a potluck, or after Sunday school, 11:30 or so, have a potluck lunch. So everybody's welcome to come over for that. There's always plenty of food. Next weekend is the time change. So I don't know if you like that or you dislike it, but anyway, it's going to happen. So we want to remember to set our clocks back. Also, next Friday is the trunk or treat down in the park. So we're collecting candy right now to hand out. If you have any candy you want to donate, just bring it to Amanda at the church office. We'll have our popcorn stand set up, and we'll hand out popcorn and candy. Also, next Sunday, right after the service, we will have acolyte training. So anybody in the third grade and up is qualified to be an acolyte. So if you want to do that, just stay after the church. I ask that a parent stay with them, and we will have acolyte training. It won't take 20 or 30 minutes. And Terry, you had some announcements.
Have two. Next Sunday after confirmation class at 2 p.m., we would like to meet with all the parents and children and youth who are ages 7 through 18, because we have two events that we've received registration for at the same time. And we wanted to go through all that information with you, and rather than have to get it out to you and try to understand which one we're talking about at what particular time. So we'd love to see you over in the chapel at 2 p.m. next Sunday. Also, we're looking for a person to lead our Christmas program for our children. We need just someone to kind of organize it. We'll be able to help you with whatever programs you might want to look at or what you might want to choose. And we'll also be able to help you in any other way. But we do need somebody to lead that. So we're looking for somebody. If you do, let me or Jill Taylor know. And anybody else have announcements? If not, then we're going to ask Jill to come forward for a special presentation.
Good morning. As Parish Education Director, along with the Sunday School teachers, Mrs. Forrester and Mrs. Hahn, I'm excited to present the second grade Sunday School students with their Bibles this morning. We would like to now ask all the second grade Sunday School students and their parents to come forward to the altar. Parents, we'd like you to hold the Bibles for a moment. In our baptism service, it gives instructions for the parents, sponsors, and us as a congregation to teach our children the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and place in their hands the Holy Scriptures. Abiding in the baptismal covenant on behalf of our congregation, we would like to place these Bibles in your hands today. Parents, as I call your child's name, would you present the Bible to your child? Corbin Block. Frederick Deezer. Bennett Rohan. And Evelyn Naranjo. We pray that you hold dear in this gift of Scripture, and you treasure in your heart and continue to read, study, and enjoy it for the rest of your lives. Thank you. Y'all may return to your seats.
We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Faithful people, keep them steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort them in all temptation. Defend them against all enemies of your word, and bestow upon the church your saving peace through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Revelation chapter 14. I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." The word of the Lord. We read Psalm 46 responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear if the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea,
though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The second reading is a reading from Romans Chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we ask that you provide us today with open hearts and minds to your word and the peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. So I've got a quiz for you. You thought you were out of school. True or false question, and as what they are, and I will ask you to raise your hands if you think they're true or if you think they're false. So the very first one. Police were called to a junior high football game this week. If you think it's true, raise your hands. Okay, got a few out there. How many of you think it's false? Guess everybody else. Okay, nobody raised their hands. It is true. Unfortunately, there are pending assault charges against a junior high football player from Lavernia for beating up on the field during a punt return in the middle of the game, standing there over him and fisting him consistently five or six times in the middle of the field from a guy from Beeville Jones. Okay, next question. There was a 5.0 earthquake southeast of Poth 2 weeks ago. Do you think that's true? Raise your hand. A couple, okay. All right, that was kind of a trick question. There was an earthquake southeast of Poth about 2 weeks ago, but it wasn't a 5.0, it was a 3.0. Okay, last one. A pastor convinced his entire congregation to sell everything they owned because he knew the day and date that the world would end. Yes, sir, who thinks that's true? Got a few out there who think that's true, yeah. Matter of fact, that is very true. And of course, they showed up, had sold everything they owned, their houses, cars, everything, and of course, nothing happened. And that's happened not just once, but three times. What is the truth? It's getting harder to tell these days, isn't it? Oh, I tell you, it really is. I mean, I'd like to give you an idea of kind of what that's like today. It's something that we've always wanted to do. Man's always wanted to seek the truth. They've gone on pilgrimages. Famous people have done it. Regular people have done it. We always are seeking that truth that makes life worth it and meaningful. But these days there is so much out there to do and so much out there to look at. Now, before I do this next part, I want to make a point that I'm not trashing the things I'm going to be talking about, but I'm going to try to talk to you in them in the sense of what we have in our gospel lesson. The truth shall set you free. I want to show the differences between the truths that are out there and the truth that this is talking about in the gospel lesson. For example, I'm going to pick two that have very popular movements right now. And again, the reason I say this is I'm going to talk about yoga and meditation. Now, yoga has nothing wrong with it. Matter of fact, I do several exercises that you would consider be yoga. It's really good. But the main premise behind it is to control your breathing so that you find peace and truth, your center. Keep that in mind. You find your center, okay? All right? Meditations, the meditation type, Hindu, Buddhism, also have that type of premise behind it, that you control it, that you can make things happen, that you find that peace or you find the Buddha inside yourself. Internet. There's fun. Again, not all bad. You can find some great recipes out there. You can find, if you broke a pipe, you can probably find a fix on there somewhere how to get it to come loose and all that things. All those wonderful things there, but every once in a while you'll get this thing, oh, 1,000-year-old cure for such and such is now available to you. And you click on it, and what is it? It's an ad. Or, I found this several times, famous person has died. I go look on the news, not a single word about the person that's died. Later on you find out it's a hoax. The truth. How do we find the truth? Where do we find the truth? Influencers are a big thing. They have some good stuff, yes. But again, they're reliant on followers. That's how they make their money. That's how they make their standing. You have to have a follower. How often is that truth for somebody but not for you? Or how often is that thing that they use something you can't use or don't use or don't want to use. And yet they promote it as, oh, that's wonderful. There's lots of things out there wanting to find the truth, wanting to provide the truth for you. How do you tell the difference? Like I said, yoga's not all bad. The meditation part, I think, is very good. Matter of fact, if you look at Psalm 46 today, in our lessons, verse 10 is, I think, one of the most overlooked verses in the Bible. Be still and know that I am God. Isn't that meditation? So it's not all bad. But the question is, there's the distinction between the yoga center and our center and the truth that shall make you free. You find your center. Ah, I find it. Whereas this Bible verse tells us, be still and know that I am God. I am the center. Pastor last week mentioned part-time Christians. I sometimes wonder if we have a lot of that going around, and maybe we're bearing the brunt of that failure, maybe even, of what Martin Luther wanted in Reformation. Because as you look around, you see a lot of hate and anger in the world. And I think it's because we've lost the truth. I see people on road rage over a car length spot want to harm somebody and personally cause them pain. I think it's kind of interesting that they'll do that because they probably are in such a hurry and they think you're going too slow and taking up their spot. But they'll take time to go back and hurt you. Aren't they just defeating their purpose? And if you disagree with somebody these days, oh my heavens, wonder how many names you get called, or how much they will demean you, or will they even try to harm you. They'll call you idiot, they'll call you dumb, they'll call you incompetent. And again, I go back to the scriptures and I wonder if we've lost the truth, because the scriptures say, how many times should you forgive somebody? 70 times 7. You're supposed to turn the other cheek. You're supposed to give them your coat. And one of the great edicts of the Bible is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is just like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Have we lost the truth? Have we raised part-time Christians? What's the danger in that? Well, here's a story. So the devil's standing up on the stage before his graduating class. And he asks the question, what is our most effective means in recruiting to our way? A hand shoots up immediately. He says, yes. He says, teach them there is no God. Well, yes, that's a very, very good way, but it's only the third way. Because as people look around and they see the goodness in the world and they see the beauty in creation, eventually they figure there's got to be something but higher authority. So another hand shoots up. It says, teach them there is no hell. That's a good one as well. Because we can put lots of evil in the world. But eventually, as the evil builds up, they look for another source. And all of a sudden, they realize that there is another source. And we are the source of all the fear and evil. Finally, a little meek hand shoots up. And he says, yes. And he says, I've got it. We'll teach them that they can have their faith, but we'll teach them it's not that important. Ah, he says, you, sir, get an A, because that's the most effective way. Moderation and procrastination works almost all the time. We allow them to have their faith, but there is no fire in the soul and the heart for it. And that allows us to work even within them who say they have faith. Have we just described the world a little bit? And yet, here we have this, the truth shall make you free. Martin Luther put up 95 theses. We celebrate this day. He didn't want just one day. He wanted this to be lived throughout the year and throughout the church. Yes, he was against the indulgences, selling of the indulgences. But the other things that he was very, very important are is what we call in Latin, sola gratia, sola scriptura. only grace, only scripture. He wrote his small catechism and his large catechism so parents and families could join together and every day have in their hand the scriptures and the basics of faith. And he wanted everybody to continue to study them. He made it so that people could discuss, debate, and enjoy the scriptures. That was the other part of the Reformation. That the church and the people be built in the scripture, the truth that really sets you free, not only in this life, but in the life to come. That's what his Reformation was about. Are we living as Reformation people? Are we in the church? Are we in the Sunday school? Are we in Bible study? Are we in our homes promoting the scriptures? That's what we did this morning with our giving of the Bibles. Are we in that truth that really sets us free? The truth that really makes sense. The truth of the Holy Spirit. Are we living as Reformation people? Do we have teachers in the Sunday school when the children come so we can teach them not only what's in, not only the words themselves, but what those words mean, what that word means to the truth in their life? Do we have full Bible studies discussing, like Luther said, discussing, debating, and going over the scriptures and learning anew? Because I've always found that every time I go into a Bible verse or a parable or something, and I look at it and I go, yeah, well, wait a minute, there's something I haven't seen before. Or there's a new thought I haven't had about that before. Are we doing that as Reformation people? Because all of that other stuff, that ugly stuff I mentioned, has to change somehow. I think Luther and Jesus would like us to be the people to do that, to at least begin that change in the world, to stop talking bad about people, stop hating people, start loving people and showing the truth that really sets us free. I'd like to give you some of the quotes that Martin Luther gave about scripture, because they're really interesting. Here's one. Nothing helps more powerfully against the devil, the world, the flesh, and all evil thoughts than occupying oneself with God's word, having conversations about it, and contemplating it. Another one. Therefore, whenever anyone is assailed by temptation or any sort whatsoever, the very best that he can do in that case is either to read something in the Holy Scriptures or think about the Word of God and how it applies to his heart. I like the last one. The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It lays hold of me. I hope that last one holds to us as Reformation people. And that is our prayer, that we can be the lights in the world, the truth in the world. Finally, I'd like to leave you. We had a youth group at my home in Trinity where we grew up, and we sang. One of the musicals we sang was Celebrate Life. I'd like to leave you with the words to the song, The Truth Shall Make You Free, because I always remember it when I get this Bible verse. And listen to the words and what Jesus and the truth can do, the beauty in it. He's the wind I soar on. He's the sun I sing in. He's the mountain I climb to when I want to reach a new high. Jesus, my Lord, of all the things he gave to me, the best is truth shall set you free. I hope that truth speaks in your heart and sets us free to be the people of God and to be the Reformation Church every single day, rather than just on one day, that Martin Luther wanted as well. Amen. Our next hymn is I Love to Tell the Story. Thank you. I invite you to stand as a Reformation people and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray in the name of Jesus to our Heavenly Father for the church, the world, and one another. Thank you, dear Father, for all who love your church. Thank you for raising up prophets, teachers, apostles, martyrs, and ordinary saints who treasure your holy word and love your church. Lord, in your mercy, pour out your Holy Spirit on your church. Make it your holy habitation. Keep it steadfast in your word. Strengthen it in the face of temptation and defend it from evil. Purify it from sin and error and bestow on it your saving peace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, graciously protect and guide the people of our congregation. Gladden our hearts by filling them with the gifts of your Holy Spirit. Use us to nourish, instruct, lift up, and invite our neighbors into your presence. Lord, in your mercy. Exalt yourself among the nations and speak your holy word to your world. especially to the leaders of our country. Give them wisdom and teachable spirit. Grant them the desire to do justice, love mercy, love others, and walk humbly before you. Lord, in your mercy. Bless the work of your faithful teachers in the church. Use them to educate all people, both young and old, so that they may eagerly proclaim the gospel to all who will receive it. Lord, in your mercy. We lift before you the names of all whose lives are shaken and troubled by suffering or illness. Lynn Magura, Jordan Peterson, Nancy Guidry, Elaine Molina, Catherine Glore, Ronald Williamson, Vivian and Bridget Innocenti, and Joe Barnes. Be in their midst and restore them to health and hope, that they may proclaim these awesome things that you have done, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, grant us to be your Reformation people today and every day, so that we may humbly follow in your footsteps, boldly trust in your promises, faithfully be in your scriptures and study, and proclaim your word and cheerfully serve you in your name. Lord, in your mercy, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we entrust our prayers and petitions into your hands, gracious Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death and, as he has promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon those chosen disciples. At this, the whole world exults in boundless joy. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. the congregation had last gathered together for the celebration of Holy Communion, we heard again the wonderful story of God's mighty acts and of the love shown to us in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, with thanksgiving, we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. I invite you to stand as we sing our post-communion canticle. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with this spiritual food, the body and blood of our Christ. And all who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by the sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
this worship time is over, but speaking of worship times, don't forget next week we have change of time, so it'll be falling back an hour. This worship time is ended, but worship continues as we go out into the world, sharing the love of Christ with all who we meet. And so we say, go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we go in peace, we share that peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.